Last week, we left off with Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life," left to ponder them and try and understand what he meant by that. And the context doesn't really help us, because prior to that, we had the feeding of the 5,000. So he took 5 loaves, 2 fish, everyone got enough food. Yay, that means he's the bread of life because he provided food? Then he goes on to explain it using the journey of the Israelites in the desert, that God provided the manna, white, flaky, weird stuff, that they would have food. Is he that too? Do we mean by I am the bread of life? Well, now today, after all that confusion and strangeness, we're left to ponder it in a greater way. And so I want to spend this homily pondering that phrase. What does Jesus mean by I am the bread of life? I am the bread of life. Let's take this metaphorically. And the image that I want to use to start with this metaphor is the image of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. As you recall from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus entered the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and ate dinner with them. And after the dinner, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, engrossed in his words. She wanted to sit there and listen to him all night long. This is the image we need, because we can understand the bread of life as the words of God are our food, are our bread, are the ways that we understand who God is, and Mary was that. She was there consuming God's words, feeding on them, letting them enter her heart, mind, and soul in such a way where she is transformed by Jesus' words. And this isn't all that surprising to us. When Jesus fought the devil in the desert, he said in response to the devil, "Thus it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So in a way, God's words are not just something out there as he speaks. They're transformative. They're effective in our lives. If we allow ourselves to consume them, to eat them, to think of them as bread, then they enter our bodies. They change the character of who we are. They permeate our hearts, minds, and souls, and helps us to ponder the greater mysteries of God. In that way, we could understand Jesus' words as, "Listen to my words that are living and effective. Let them transform you." And we think of all those people who, by him speaking words, their sins were forgiven. By words, they were healed. By words, things were changed, and the world was a different place. But that kind of doesn't fit, if you think about it. Jesus, although he says all will be taught by God, that's not really the core message. So although it's true that we can consume God's words and let them change us, that doesn't seem to be where Jesus is driving our attention. That doesn't seem to be the main point. I am the bread of life. Let's take this metaphorically again, and I have a new image for you. It's the one that we got from the first book of Kings, our first reading, which is Elijah patiently waiting for God's word. So to start out with, Elijah had just killed all 450 prophets of Baal and all 400 prophets of Asherah and angered Queen Jezebel, whose prophets those were. In her murderous rage, Jezebel basically promised she would kill Elijah. Elijah, freaked out by this, runs out into the desert where he sits under a tree and prays to die. The angel comes and pokes him. "Get up." And he sees a hearth cake and a jug of water. He eats and drinks and goes back to sleep. The angel pokes him again. "Get up." He eats another hearth cake, drinks another jug of water, then walks 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of God Horeb, where he encounters the true and living God. Truly, that's not that far. He must have really meandered through the desert to make it 40 days and 40 nights. Nevertheless, he makes it there and encounters God. But the image we have with Elijah is God's providence. God gives us what we need. And that's the image of I am the bread of life. I will supply you with your every need. And this follows. We had the feeding of the 5,000, where 5 loaves and 2 fish fulfilled everyone. They were full. God provides in abundance. And we have the second image of the people in the desert, where when the manna fell, the weird, weight, flaky stuff, people would go out and they'd gather 1 omer apiece, which is about 2.5 pounds. So if someone gathered a huge amount, it would not be too much. And if someone gathered a small amount, it would not be too little. Everyone had enough. That's one of the strange things about this event. Everyone always had enough. God provided. And so in that way, Jesus is telling us through his phrase, "I'm the bread of life," to come to me. If you come to me, I will provide your needs, and it will always be enough. I will always give you what you need, and maybe in abundance, as God wills. And in that way, he's reminding us of that fact. God does want to provide for us. But that idea is so hard for us. Because we have phrases like, pull oneself up by the bootstraps, or I have got this. We want to take charge. We want to make things happen. We want it to be about us. And then we don't understand God's providence. Here's another way of understanding it. If you are anxious, worried, or concerned about things, or you have a deep level of anxiety, you don't trust God's providence. I know, ouch, that hurts, doesn't it? But there's a real statement to that. If we are truly trusting, everything's at peace. It'll be okay. I might not get what I want, but God will provide, and it will always be enough. Because that's the way God is. He always provides enough. So by Jesus telling us, I am the bread of life, he's reminding us that he is our providence. He will provide for our every need. He will always make it be enough, and always on his time. So we need to trust him. But even that seems to pale compared to what Jesus actually says in the gospel. His words get more deep. There's something else we have to ponder. That leads to the third one. I am the bread of life. My metaphors are gone now. Now we are left with images. And I have three images, none of which will make sense. But I have to give them to you. One is a loaf of bread. The other is a hunk of meat. The third is a sacrificed animal. And all three are necessary to keep in your head and necessary for this last image. Because the bread is the meat. And the meat is a sacrificed animal. And the sacrificed animal is the bread. We have to keep those together if we're to understand Jesus' final words in today's gospel. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. That just got weird. Because he doesn't beat around the bush with this phrase. In Greek, there are two words for flesh. There's somos, which is literally translated body. It's what I am. That's how I describe my corporal being. It's a body. But that's not the word he uses. He uses the word sarx. We get the word sarcophagus from it, which literally means flesh eater. Sarc, flesh, phago, to eat. Flesh eater, because when you open it up, the flesh is gone. Ha ha, exciting. So he uses the word sarx, which literally means fleshy stuff, the skin, the bones, the sinews, the stuff that makes us a body of its own. And that makes it even weirder, almost sickening in some ways, that he makes a point that unless we eat his flesh, we don't have life. It's not bread anymore. It's not this idea of just providence. It's something so much deeper. That in order for us to have life, we need to get it from the author of life. The only one who can truly give life, which is God. Therefore, if we want life, the only source we can have is we gotta eat him. That's gonna be tough to ponder. Regardless, we don't get to. We're stuck with this idea and stuck pondering it because the conclusion of the reading is next week, to which Jesus does explain what he means by, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. We're stuck with this image for one more week until we can truly understand what Jesus means. So, good luck. Have fun with it. Where we do leave off, however, is all three of these points are important. I am the bread of life does mean that we can feed on God's word. His word means something in our life. It does mean that God provides for every need. And it does mean there's something about him that we have to understand, that he wants us to eat him. He wants us to have life. There's something about his flesh that becomes our bread. And we'll figure that out next week.